God is calling our church to build ministry that seeks the lost, makes disciples, and meets needs. We have been in a storm, amen? And for many, the storm still rages. And it's a spiritual storm, it's a physical storm, it's an emotional storm. I mean, it is storming in every way, shape, form, and fashion that it can possibly storm. But what we discover with Noah is, despite the fact that the days were incredibly dark and that there was a lot of spiritual turmoil in his days, the Bible even tells us that one of the reasons that God was bringing destruction through a flood in the days of Noah was because the earth was so wicked that even their thoughts were wicked. And so we know that Noah was in the middle of a spiritual storm, and no doubt he was wrestling with emotional storm, but there was also a physical storm that was brewing, and yet he was able to construct an ark, and his family survived that storm and made it to safety. And that is the same thing that every single one of us want. We want to survive every storm and make sure that our family makes it to safety. Can I get a witness from somebody on a Sunday morning? That's what we're striving for. That's what we're believing for. And so what we want to do is we want to look at the life of Noah, and we want to take out some practical things that any of us could apply to our life and make sure that we survive our storm. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 7 tells us this about Noah. By faith, Noah, when warned about the things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. This is a powerful verse, and I'm going to ask you, if you would, just to read it out loud with me. Ready, begin. By faith, Noah, when warned about the things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. You could make that your life verse and do everything that you could to exemplify that, to mimic that, and to repeat that, following Noah's example, and it would be a powerful thing in your life. You think about the fact that Noah built an ark. Our church is located in Kentucky, and we may have a greater familiarity with Noah's ark than some other states, because there is a giant replica of the ark that has been constructed in the state of Kentucky. I'm sure some of you have been there and you've seen it. But just in general, like, how big was the ark? Like, when it says that Noah built an ark to save his family, we know that he also took two of each kind of the animal. And we know that there were other people that were invited onto the ark, evidently, but chose to not accept that invitation. How big was this thing that he was constructing? Well, we know that it was approximately 510 feet long. That's the equivalent to taking 1.5 football fields, putting them end to end. NASA could actually land 3 space shuttles nose to tail on top, or lay them there on top of Noah's ark. It's that big. The roof was more than 50 feet from the ground, and just as the Bible tells us, there were 3 extra tall inner decks within the ark. The storage capacity was the same as about 450 semi-trailers. It had the capacity to hold 120,000 sheep. There's a few wooden ships that have ever come close to the size of Noah's ark. In fact, they believe that there's maybe only 2 in history that could have even come close to rivaling it, one of them of Chinese origin, the other of Greek origin. But what we do know is that Noah's ark was the maximum size for which a wooden vessel could be constructed and still function in boat-like form. It's believed that over 3 million board feet of timber were used to construct Noah's ark. You know, now that Kentucky has built this replica of Noah's ark, it is now considered to be the largest timber frame building in the entire world. So it just gives you a little bit of perspective of how big this project was that Noah was taking on and that God had assigned him to and that God had called him to. And so when you begin to, the reason we want to talk about how big was the ark is because we want to evaluate how long did it take to build the ark. And the Bible does not tell us that specifically, but many commentators, scholars, theologians believe that it probably took him about 75 years. And to put that in perspective, with modern technology and hundreds of workers, the Hoover Dam took 5 years. Mount Rushmore took 14 years. The Panama Canal took 34 years. And now here's this one man and his family on this all-inclusive project that they've never even built a boat in their lives, but they have heard the call of God that there's something divine that needs to take place through them. And they dedicate 75 years to building this. It was not a quick job. There was a process. Noah didn't just walk away from his prayer time and then step over in the field and, oh, there's an ark. Like there was a process associated with it. And here's the thing, as much as God wanted an ark built, he didn't give Noah a ready-built ark. I'm gonna say that again for somebody because you need to hear it. God really wanted an ark to be built, but he did not give Noah a ready-built ark. He didn't send angels just to build the boat. Noah had to build the boat himself. It was a process. It took time, and it required blood, sweat, and tears. I just wonder if there's anybody that's ever built a business and you understand it didn't happen overnight. It was a process and there was blood, there was sweat, and there was tears. Like, I wonder if there's anybody that's ever built an athletic prowess in your life and you rose to the top of your game and you discovered it didn't happen overnight. It took blood, it took sweat, and it took tears. I wonder if anybody's ever built a long-lasting marriage and you came to realize it didn't happen overnight. It took blood, it took sweat, and it took tears. And that's what you're gonna come to learn about God is God may call you to build a business for his glory. It's not going to happen overnight. It will require blood, it will require sweat, and it will require tears. And I can tell you that if you are married, God is calling you to build an incredible marriage, but it's not going to happen overnight. It's going to take blood, it's going to take sweat, and it's going to take tears. I came to help somebody on a Sunday morning. Like, if God's calling you to do something of greatness, he's not just going to snap his fingers and make it happen for you. Bible teaches us that things happen through the process of time. And as they happen through the process of time, like there's blood, there's sweat, and there's tears. So how do you last 75 years with blood, sweat, and tears? Especially if everybody else thinks you're crazy and they're mocking you and they're ridiculing you and they think you've lost your mind. That's what Noah's going through. Everybody around him is thinking evil. They think that he has no clue what he's doing. They're wanting to insert him into an insane asylum. It doesn't make sense. But for 75 years, he gets up and just keeps going to work and just keeps taking hammer and nail and putting board on board. 75 years of blood, sweat, and tears. How do you last that long? Well, the first thing you got to do is hear the call. We talked about that last Sunday. You got to hear the call. And I hope if you didn't get a chance to hear it, you'll refresh yourself on that message. And so we've already talked quite a bit about that. You got to hear the call. And the way that you can primarily hear the call is just by choosing to walk with God regardless of what your surroundings are around you. But here's the thing. Beyond hearing the call, you have to see the vision. I just want you just to tell somebody that. Maybe put that in the comments if you're a church online. Just say, see the vision. Okay, maybe nobody's heard the call. I don't know. We need to look. Just tell somebody, see the vision. See the vision. Because if you don't know where you're going, you won't know when you get there. So if God is calling you to build a godly family, You need a vision of what that would look like for your household. Here's the way Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. One of the interpretations of that text implies that where there is no vision, people just wander around aimlessly until death. And so it's super important that you not only hear the call, but that you invite God to show you the vision, that you see the vision, because if you don't have a vision for what God is calling you to build, you'll never get past the call. That's important. If you don't have a vision for what God is calling you to build, you'll never get past the call. So many people just settle for being called, and they'll talk about being called, and they'll celebrate the fact that they're called, but yet it doesn't seem like that there's ever any intentionality associated with the call. So when you hear the call, you need to know what the when is going to look like. So when you feel like, okay, hey, God is calling me to build a godly marriage, what does that look like? I understand you may not be able to fully describe it. You may not be able to fully define it. But maybe God is calling you to build an incredible prayer life. What does that look like? Have you thought about what you are seeing when you're hearing the call? Like, I have noticed that words produce images. And so I say apple. One person sees a green apple. Another person sees a red apple. I say car. I see my car. You see your car. I say house. I see my house. You see your house. And so when you hear the call, typically there is a vision that God wants to release with that call. I can tell you now that I have the privilege to be the pastor of this church, and it was a church that my wife and I got to plant 21 years ago, and I can take you back to mile marker 82, 18 years old, and knowing that I was called into a preaching ministry, but also coming into about the age 20 and knowing without a shadow of a doubt that my wife and I, we were supposed to come to Russell Springs, Kentucky, and that we were supposed to plant a church, and even back in the day when there were six people and we were sitting on borrowed funeral home chairs and we were playing on a little old cheap piano, and I was the only musician and she was the only singer. Am I making sense to anybody? That there was a call, but there was also a vision that went beyond the storefront, and there was something that God was showing that we knew it wasn't for that moment, but it was for an appointed time. And I can tell you, 21 years later, of blood, sweat, and tears. I need somebody to help me this morning. Of blood, sweat, and tears. I'm so glad that there wasn't just the hearing of the call, but there was a seeing of a vision. Because when you get up in the morning, you realize the vision's not yet fulfilled. And you get up on a Sunday and you realize the vision is not yet fulfilled. There is more to come. And I can stand right here on Time Change Sunday in March 2021 and I can tell you there is still a call that is ringing in the sound of the heavenlies, and the vision is not yet fulfilled because everyone needs Jesus. And we are going to make it hard to go to hell from every zip code in South Central Kentucky and beyond as God leads and guides. Can I get somebody? Come on. Hear the call. See the vision. And here's what Scripture tells us about seeing a vision. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2. And the Lord answered me, and he said, write the vision and make it plain upon the tables that he may run who reads it. So you have to hear the call. You have to see the vision, but then you have to write the when. You could go as far as saying write the plan. That's okay, but I want to preach write the when. I feel like that there has to be an end goal in mind to some degree, to where that at least it's able to be made plain. And the thing that I appreciate about Noah is that he hears the call and he clearly evidently sees a vision associated with this call. And then what Noah begins to do, there are blueprints of sort that are constructed, and there is a writing of the wind of, we're going to know this thing is built and the last board has been put in place when we cross this particular line. And so Have you actually, I mean, this is Bible. Like, there are so many things that are practical in Scripture that if we would just apply the practical aspects, it could change so much of our life. But instead, we just kind of skirt through life, and we don't ever take some of these things with great intentionality. And I think it holds us back from what God really could do in our life, that you don't just hear the call, and you don't just see the vision, but you have to write the win, write the vision, make it plain. Think about a billboard. You're driving down the road and you're going 85 miles an hour. You're speeding, slow down. But even though you're going at a fast rate, like, you don't have to slow down to read the billboard. The billboard is plain. And if the billboard is not plain, it has failed. And so you want your vision, your win, to be so clear that if you were going 80 miles an hour down an interstate, you see it, you keep running, and you know what the win is. Have you written the win for your marriage? Have you written the win for raising godly kids? Have you written the win for the business that God's called you to? Have you written the win for what your prayer life might look like? Because when you write it, it becomes a plan. And here's what Proverbs 21:5 says: good planning and hard work lead to prosperity, but hasty shortcuts lead to poverty. Trying to help somebody this morning. We all want the shortcut. We all want the easy way, the quick way. But you sense that Noah had heard the call. He had seen the vision. And it was so solidified on the inside of him that he wasn't willing to settle for a shortcut. He needed something that was going to survive the storm. And that meant shortcuts couldn't happen. And here's the way it unfolds in Genesis 6:22. It says, Noah did everything that God commanded him to do. No shortcuts. Like, he did everything that God called him to do. If God said do it, he did it. So I think what that helps me to see is this fourth thing: stay focused. Hear the call, see the vision, write the win, and then stay focused. So Pastor Rich actually shares a story similar to this in his book, and I was like, I had that same thing happen to me. It's real spiritual. He's got squirrels in his backyard. I got squirrels in my backyard. My wife loves to watch squirrels play. She also loves to watch the birds eat at the feeder. There's only one problem. Squirrels and birds at the same feeder don't mix. And as cute as those little squirrels are, they can be incredibly destructive. So I came up with a thing. We got a picnic table, little bitty picnic table, screwed it into the tree, and it holds a corn cob. And the squirrels come down, and they sit at the picnic table, and they eat their corn. And it's the cutest thing ever, and my wife just squeals. But what you do about the birds? She's a bird feeder. So I go to Walmart and I go through like all the different. I stood. My son, my daughter was actually with me. She got so aggravated with me, like, "Dad, we're looking at bird feeders. Can we go?" Like 30 minutes later, I'm like, "We got to get this right, Natalie, because those squirrels, they're rascals." And so I finally settle on one of the two or three that said squirrel-proof bird feeder. So we've got the little picnic table for the squirrels right where when Mandy wakes up in the morning, the window can be raised and she can just look out and watch the squirrel. And so right beside it, but at just the appropriate height and just out of reach of the squirrels and in a way where they would never be able to wreck my vision for a perfect morning for my wife, I hang the bird feeder. Within two days, the squirrel is no longer interested in the picnic table because that's just got a corn cob that's going to last 10 minutes. Over here is a buffet. And so he climbs out on the branch and I'm watching this squirrel and he's looking and he looks this way, then he'll turn around and he'll look that way, then he tries to hang down with his bottom legs and he's reaching and he's grabbing for it. And this goes on for this extended period of time. And then finally, that joker goes for it. He jumps, but it's squirrel proof. Yeah. And he slid right off. I was like, I got you, sucker. That squirrel come right back up that tree, went right back out on that limb, and here he went again. He's tried it another way. Jumped the other direction, slid right off. I'm like, I told you, bro, when you gonna learn? Ultimately, I look up, and that squirrel is hanging by 1 foot. Okay, I'm not flexible. Hanging by 1 foot sideways, and he's like pouring it into his mouth. And Pastor Rich shared a story about a squirrel in his book, and he got the same message that I got. I'm like, that is focus. Like, is that not focus? I mean, that dude was not going to quit until he got what he was coming for. He had heard the call. He had seen the vision. That dude wrote it down somewhere. And he was focused. And it didn't matter how many times he fell off. It didn't matter how many times it went away other than what he expected. Like, he was focused. And I just think, man, what would it be if you got that focused on what the end of the vision that God has given you is supposed to look like? Like, I just feel like Noah probably had some squirrely faith. Like, he fell off a few times. He probably broke a few bones a few times. Probably had to have some ER runs more than once. Probably got some big old splinters. Probably a few handles flew off the hammers, but he just kept going back. And here's the fifth thing I need you to get is keep building. Because when you stay focused, you can keep building. And whether it's a good day or it's a bad day, we're going to build, honey, because we got the call of God. We have seen the vision. It is written plainly so everybody gets it, and we are focused on this thing. We keep building, whether it's a pandemic or it's the whole world falling apart or it's everybody speaking evil or it's this person mocking us or it's that person. We keep building. We keep building. Would you just say that to somebody? Keep building. I'm going to ask them just to begin to play some music softly. And as they do so, I want you just to think about this with me. Hear the call. See the vision. Write that win. Make it plain when you write it. Stay focused. Get you some squirrely faith. And keep building. Keep building on your marriage. There's going to be days when you get splinters. I need online to help me because the room, they're struggling with that hour that they've lost. But I'm going to keep building. Okay. Keep building. It's amazing when you first realize what God is building, is calling you to build, excuse me. It's amazing to realize what God is calling you to build. It'll be mile marker moments in your life. But then you have that second realization, oh, wait a second, I actually have to build it. God's not going to do it all for me. But when he gives you that plan and you just keep building, blood, sweat, tears, it doesn't matter the actions or even the inactions of the people around you. You just keep building. Because here's the thing. While Noah was building the ark, God was building Noah. Let me personalize it for a second. Something I've lived through. I've had so many mentors say to me, hey, Eric, don't you ever forget, if God gives you the privilege of getting to be a part of building a church, he'll build you as he builds that church. You know what? It's been the same thing for me as a husband. Seems like regardless of how great you want your marriage to be, it will only become as great as you allow God to build you. Parenting, oh my goodness, is anything harder? But as you're building that child, God is building you. All the other things you can fill in the blank with that you've been called to build, just know as you keep building, God is building you. I'm going to ask you this morning, every head bowed, every eye closed, even there in church online, would you just take a minute before you flip off that screen or you shut that laptop or you close down your phone, would you just take a minute and lean in with us? Have you heard the call? Have you seen the vision? Like, have you been able to write the win? Have you been able to stay focused? Have you made the decision to keep building? Maybe you're at any number of those. Maybe you feel like more than one of those apply in different ways in your life. But as every head's bowed, every eye's closed, and every person's leaning in, we're just asking for a moment of reverential awe. Because here's what I believe. I believe that there's some of us that need to hear the most important call of all. And that is the call to the cross of Jesus Christ. I can tell you that what Jesus built with two timbers involved blood, sweat, and tears. But it was because he loved you. And he loved you so much that he was willing to say, whatever payment is due, whatever wrath is due for the sin of mankind, I'll take it. His body was ripped apart. His joints were pulled out of socket. He bled and he died naked as they pulled the beard from his face and placed the crown of thorns on his head. He was building something for you. It was a living hope. I just wonder, like, do you need a moment where you just finally surrender to the most important call of all, and like, hey Jesus, I see what you did for me. I'm willing to receive the sacrifice of your blood, your sweat, and your tears. So, right where you're at, in this room or outside of this room, lift up your hand to God and surrender. Go all in. Commit your life to Him. Confess your sins to Him. Invite Him to give you the courage and the ability to walk it out and live for Him. As you pray in your own way, I want to pray with you. I want to pray for you. Father, I believe that there's people that are hearing the call to the cross. And they see, God, what it is that you built for them on Calvary. And that, Father God, heaven can be their home. That is the ultimate win. And today, there just needs to be a moment of sacrifice, a moment of consecration, a moment of confession. Just, we go all in. And God, we're not holding anything back. Like, for some people, this is not just their first born-again experience. There's other people that they're rededicating their life. And they realize they've just drifted from that call to the cross and that their life has become surrounded with the darkness of the world. And God, we just thank you that right now, through your gospel, you're turning the lights on in them and through them. God, we thank you that we'll be able to leave this moment testifying that we are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ and what the cross built for us. And we will ride it to safety, Lord. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. If you made that decision today, I want you to go to 3trees.com. In this room or outside of this room, go to 3trees.com. And I want you to let us know because we want to pray with you, we want to help you take those next steps.